You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I spent $40,000 on shoes.
What's the matter, Morty?
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Fashion has changed. No, it hasn't.
Hi, my name is Chelsea Fairless, and I am so excited to announce that Lauren will not be joining me today because she has given birth to a healthy baby boy. As Samantha Jones would say, just what the world needs, another man. I have to say, I have not yet met this little man. I have seen photos of him. He is very, very cute. I am so excited to meet him. I hope that I can go to the hospital today or tomorrow. I'm so happy for Lauren and Paul. My little Grinch heart has grown several sizes. But I will say, this little bundle of joy did fuck up our recording schedule because Lauren went into labor when we were supposed to record this episode. And I think this is a good time for me to disclose that Lauren and I actually did get screeners of the first 6 episodes of And Just Like That. So we have seen the first 6 episodes and we have recorded recaps for episodes 3 through 6, but not for 2 because we thought that she would still be pregnant. But oh no, the baby just had to come. So here I am with some really fabulous guest hosts. They are both writers. They are both friends with me and with each other. And they are both Carries. Please welcome to the... Please give a warm welcome. I love how I'm saying this as if there's a studio audience. To Jonathan Parks Ramage and Carly Scortino.
Hello.
Hey.
Or is it Shortino? Did I fuck it up?
It's Shortino, but it's fine.
Fuck. I always fuck it up.
Oh my God. We are both Carries. Wait, love that. I've actually never been called a Carrie before, but it's true.
You're insulted.
It's true. No, I know. I actually love it.
I could tell that you're a Carrie from like 100 feet away. Also, so Carly has been on the podcast before. Carly always fills in when some shit goes down. You know how on the Babysitter's Club, how there's always like a member of the BSC that has to be on call in case someone cancels? That is like you for every outfit.
Yes. What is it called? Not Friends of the Pod. It's like on Real Housewives, Friend of.
Oh,
I'm the Friend of.
You're yeah, Friend of. Oh my God. So this is like my Friend of audition. We'll see if I get invited back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Jonathan has never been on, but I have to say, I heard you on How Long Gone a couple of weeks ago, and I felt a little jealous.
Oh my God, I love that. Yeah, they said it was their horniest episode ever recorded. We just talked about gay sex the whole time, which is, a lot of straight guys just want to talk about gay sex. It's confusing, but I was more than happy to oblige.
I loved it. Unfortunately, not that much sex on this particular episode of And Just Like That, but...
We'll find a way.
We'll get into it. But before we discuss this week's episode, I want to talk about something else major that happened in the Sex and the City universe this week, which is Megan Thee Stallion's appearance on Kristen Davis's podcast, Are You a Charlotte? I just want to play a little clip of that now.
So far. Is Big still on the show?
No.
Okay.
Something happened to him. Should I tell her? I don't know. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Tell me.
He died. I feel really bad. Yeah. We killed him. Sorry. Yeah, I know. I don't know. Is that good or bad? I don't know. That's what we did. Yeah.
Y'all had to kill the man?
We did.
How did he die? Nobody told me
I'm sorry. Did I ruin it now? I feel bad.
Why is he dead? How did he die?
He died on the Peloton.
He died on the Peloton.
He had heart issues.
He had a heart attack?
It kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
I love that she's a big enough fan that she's watched Sex and the City, but she hasn't watched either of the movies or And Just Like That.
No, I know. And what blew my mind even more than the fact that she did not know this was the podcast itself was so weird because it was like the podcast, I guess, is just celebrities interviewing Kristen Davis about Sex in the City and what they think of her and her performance. And every guy, she didn't ask Megan Thee Stallion a single question. I was so shocked.
Look, the format of Are You a Charlotte drastically changes from week to week, but I actually think this was the best episode because normally it's the reverse. Normally it's Kristen like explaining to Sarah Jessica Parker like what happened on Sex and the City.
Right, because she famously like didn't watch the show ever.
Yeah, exactly. No, she hasn't.
But Megan was iconic. I mean, it was so funny.
She's so funny, but I thought it was interesting that Kristen Davis clearly really identifies with Charlotte. Like, when she talks about Charlotte, she's like, me, I. Like, I did this or I do this. And usually an actress will refer to the character by the character's name. Yes. And it really feels like she thinks of herself as a Charlotte.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. I think she is a Charlotte, you know? It's not like she's secretly a Samantha and she has to play this woman, you know?
Yes, correct. I was also shook by Megan Thee Stallion was adamant. She was like, I would not be friends with Carrie. Like, she kind of hates Carrie. And you can see Kristen, like, kind of, like, malfunction because she's like, ha, 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 ha. But, like, Megan just, like, hates Carrie so much. Says something about, like, this crazy lady. She called her insane multiple times, like, this crazy lady who, like, wears crazy dresses. Like, I was just, like, so shook by how much Megan... IDK, like, just hated Carrie. I was shook.
Well, she hates Miranda, too.
Yeah, I think she hates everyone except Kristen. I think that was the takeaway. I was like, did you actually like the show?
And Samantha. I mean, she watched the show twice, she did say. I think, like, the fucking Carrie meme, like, when we look back on the show, it's clear with hindsight that she was more of a narcissist and a bad friend at certain points than I think people, there was discourse around when the show was originally airing.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like people hate her more now than they ever. Like, I thought everyone wanted to be a Carrie. I mean, I am a Carrie, but I think everyone did want to be Carrie at one point, no?
Of course. Something shifted in the culture.
Yes. What was it?
Awareness of narcissism, maybe?
Yeah, awareness of narcissism.
Yes, I think that's it.
I mean, I like wrote this article for Vogue whenever And Just Like That premiered, which is basically looking back at Sex and the City and how it did kind of fuck up a lot of our aspirations or what we wanted to be when we grew up. Like, I was watching this right when we were teenagers or whatever in our early 20s, and I was like, it's like aspirational to spend all of your income on shoes, not be able to cook, have the only thing in your refrigerator be champagne, use your stove as storage, have like bad sex with a bunch of finance bros, you know what I mean? And then you start realizing as you get older, oh, maybe my priorities were a little skewed by these things. Like, yes, maybe actually, like, not being able to cook, not being able to drive, not having savings isn't glamorous. It's just like full ass
still
incompetence.
Can't cook. I mean, I can cook, but I don't know how to drive. Still don't have savings and want to buy. I just bought a $500 Jacques Mousse shirt the other day, despite the fact that I don't have any money.
Maybe we should play Sex in the City.
So I am still a Carrie too.
Like, when you were saying all of those things just now, I was like, God damn it, that's still me. Yeah.
But I do think it's like, Megan was like, yeah, I never knew this show was good. I do think like another generation, like we, the three of us, listeners don't know, we did go to our friend Henry's high school to be like guest speakers at his very shishy like private school. Mm-hmm. And he was introducing all of us by our bios and like explained what Chelsea did. And then he just kind of asked the class of like high schoolers, like, by show of hands, who here has heard of Sex and the City?
Yeah.
Not a single hand was raised.
There was one or
that
two.
That was the most. No, there wasn't.
No.
I don't remember.
There was like one person.
But it was shocking regardless.
We were shocked.
I felt traumatized. I was like, what's going on? It just feels like I felt very dissociative in that moment.
Well, I was traumatized too because I've built my whole life around these people. Even if I had never started Every Outfit, still my life would be defined by this show in a way.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know?
It was so definitive. I feel like, I guess, I thought it was definitive for everyone, but I guess more our generation of people who grew up watching it. I don't know. But yeah, so then Megan Thee Stallion was just kind of like, yeah, I heard the show was good. And I was like, again, I just think it's like a generational thing. But I guess people are rediscovering it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
Well, not teenagers, obviously.
Yeah.
Have you been reading all the stuff recently about how Gen Z spend less money and are more financially conscious than millennials?
No.
Yeah, so there's this whole article, I think it was like in New York Magazine, about how it's annoying for bartenders because Gen Z drinks less, they have sex less, and when they go to bars and order drinks, they close out after every drink so they can track how much money they're spending, and that how like bar tabs are not a thing anymore. And I'm like, yeah, probably if these young people watch Sex and the City, they'd just be like, these bitches' priorities are completely fucking insane.
God, that sounds like no fun, though.
No, that sounds like hell.
That sounds like hell, yeah.
I don't think Gen Z's having fun.
Like, I mean, I just feel like getting blacked out and having sex with people that you didn't like was our culture.
The point of the point of your 20s. That's
of
what
course.
Else are you doing?
That's the only thing to do.
Yes, 1,000%.
Make a tiny bit of money so you can buy a really expensive pair of shoes. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get blackout drunk and make poor sexual decisions.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, speaking of poor sexual decisions, I want to play a call that we got on the hotline this week that speaks to episode one of And Just Like That, which I'm going to assume you guys have seen.
Yes.
Let me just play this now.
Hi, Lauren and Chelsea. It's Tim from Raleigh. I'm calling in because I listened to your most recent And Just Like That episode recap, and you did say any fuckettes, please call in if you enjoyed or found sexy Aiden's jerk-off scene. And I do want to just raise my hand and say that I am one of those fuckettes that did enjoy the jerk-off scene. But, you know, I'm a gay man, so, like, I am attracted to, like, raw masculinity and, like, grossness like that. So just to see Aiden in that situation, you know, where he's just spitting on his hand and then just raging his pants and just like, oh, yeah. Like, I was, you know, I have to admit that I was intrigued by it. So we are out there and we do exist. Anyways, have a good night. Bye.
Thoughts, Jonathan?
Yeah, I was excited to hear your thoughts.
I mean, I don't want to disagree with a fellow member of the LGBTQ plus community. And I don't want to kink shame, but I found nothing less sexy than that, especially the way it was worded. That was, for me, it was like, I think he said something like, yeah, touch yourself how I touch you. It was like, so, it was like creepy uncle, like, molesting you at, like, in the closet. Like,
so true.
Like, it was not hot at all. And she's like, I'm touching myself the way you touch me. And then he's, like, sleeping next to his literal son later in the episode. Nothing about, and then also the comment about, like, shitting in his pants a little bit. I'm like, there was too many disgusting things peppered into already disgusting dialogue for me to find it. And I just don't actually find Aiden hot. Sorry.
Yeah, me neither. You do, though.
I used to. I mean, it's becoming harder and harder. I mean, I was, like, so a fan of Aiden and thought that he was, like, the boyfriend she didn't deserve at the time. But this one, it's like, okay, I have multiple thoughts. Everyone is all up in arms about the licking of the hand. Clearly, licking or spitting on your hand with someone who's hot that you're hooking up with is very normal.
That doesn't bother me. Yeah.
And can be hot. It just, contextually, the whole thing. I mean, first of all, this guy says, my son got into a car accident. Don't talk to me for 5 years, which sucks, right? That they can't even communicate. And then he leaves her in this uncertain position, which is very anxiety producing, then calls her out of nowhere, drunk, and is like 0 to 100, wants her to be turned on, is like basically like breaking his own boundary. That's so disorienting. And then he's like, are you inside yourself? I just shit my pants. I'm gonna come now. It's like, you're a hot mess.
Oh, also, yeah, very, very boundary breaking when you think about that.
Like, awful. And she's just supposed to be like ready and raring to go.
Yeah, like, can't wait to hear about the shit in your pants while I rip off.
Look, I'm glad that at least one person found this hot.
Same. And again, I don't want to kink shame. I really don't. I'm very happy for your LGBTQ plus caller.
Okay, so to get into the episode, this episode was called The Rat Race. It was directed by Michael Patrick King, written by Julie Rottenberg and Alisa Zuritsky, who are the old school Sex and the City writers that return for And Just Like That. Where do we even start with this episode? I guess we should start with Carrie. At the beginning of this episode, we think that she's on a date with someone hot, kind of, because she's wearing like a sexy spangly dress and she's like on the town, which we don't really see that much of, you know?
Yes.
But she has a date with Lizette, and Lizette hates dating and hates her phone. And that is her personality, I suppose.
Yeah. And it's so weird. It feels like such a non-scene, such a weird scene to start out with. But what really shook me so hard was she like throws her phone accidentally in frustration over her shoulder and then just doesn't go and get it. Like, wait, she throws her phone like literally into a crowd and then just doesn't go and get it, just continues her conversation with Carrie for like at least a minute and a half. And I was just like, what person ever in 2025 would literally do that?
No, but that's what makes this camp. Things to happen, or else it isn't campy. Because, yes, what human being would do that?
Exactly.
Also, we got a call on the hotline that I couldn't play because of audio issues from someone that was Gen Z that was like, this is not how Gen Z people are.
Right.
Like, we're not just like scrolling and bitching about our phones and like throwing our phones into crowds.
Yeah, I know. You know?
It's obviously written by someone older about what they perceive as the experience of being a young person dating now. And I get it. Like, apps suck, phones suck. We all feel like that. But I don't know if we're necessarily expressing our negative emotions in this particular way.
Yes, it does feel she's just like this kind of avatar for some older person's idea of what Gen Z is. It's like, that's her whole character.
I know. I mean, I love she's that actress. Hot, yeah, she's so hot.
I love her too.
I like that actress too. It makes me, even though they give her crazy dialogue, that part of me is like, I kind of just wish the show was about her and what her life is. But when she like accidentally throws her phone over her shoulder and doesn't get it, the first thought I had was like, I don't watch shows like The Big Bang Theory or Modern Family, but for a reason. But when I watch it just like that, I'm constantly thinking, this is what I imagine those shows are like, where people do things like that, where they just don't act like regular people.
Yeah.
I think Modern Family is a better show than that. But I will say that Charlotte's plotline in this episode, very Modern Family.
Yeah, very Modern Family, or what I imagine it is.
Very Modern Family. But what do we think about Lizette's jewelry design, because she gives Carrie a necklace with the address of her old apartment.
It's chunky.
Did you guys ever go to that indoor flea market in Williamsburg that used to happen?
I love that.
Artisan fleas.
It's very that. Right?
Yes.
It's very artisan fleas.
I guess so, yeah. It's not very Carrie. I have a higher idea of artisan fleas than that necklace, to be honest.
I don't mean to shade artisan fleas, but there are several jewelry designers there that are upcycling vintage jewelry and making custom pieces. And I think that this speaks to that.
Yeah, it was a little clunky, though, I would say. And did Carrie actually wear it?
I don't think so. It kind of has like, I found it.
Which feels like shade and maybe intentional. Because you're right, it's not really a carry piece.
No, it has like a found in a, at the bottom of the sea vibe.
It's giving Ariel, Little Mermaid.
It actually is really shady that she didn't just wear that in a later scene.
Yeah, I know, truly. It felt like it was the opening scene of the show. So it felt like, well, surely this necklace is going to be featured on Carrie later. But no.
No.
But no. So the next scene with Carrie, she's having a writing session in her very fabulous outdoor garden. Let's just play a clip of that scene.
Sitting in the sunlight, the woman felt the fog of the last few nights lift. She realized her recent tossing and turning and insecurities were remnants of another time, a time when she was less sure of her path. This is a new house, she reminded herself, a new life. This wasn't her past. It was the present, May 1846.
Oh my god.
When I watched this with my sister, when the punchline of May 1846 lands, we lost our goddamn mind. It was such a jump scare.
Yeah, I really can't believe that Carrie is writing historical fiction.
Why? She's never shown any interest in history.
I don't want to be too negative, but I would say that sometimes I just get so frustrated where I'm like, did the writers get together and think like everyone was frustrated with the end just like that's last year? As we know that they were like kind of a bit random and unsatisfying, like the PayPal joke, never forget or whatever. And then it's like, they're like, what could be more frustrating? Oh, we know. Let's bring back the voiceover and make it like 19th century gobbledygook that goes on forever. And literally, I rewound it to listen again to be like, what? It's like, doesn't make any sense. It goes on forever, word salad. And it doesn't have anything to do with the story.
As a novelist, I gotta say, it's not looking good. The style, the prose style, I'm not necessarily impressed yet. Also, the woman. Give the woman a name.
I know. The woman is currently unnamed. I wonder if she will ever have a name.
Can you imagine reading like a 400-page historical novel from Carrie Bradshaw where the woman is not named? It's just referred to as the woman. And it's like just a thinly veiled her going through her own house, her own although I have to say her lifestyle, I'm like, is so cushy now. She literally just like wanders around in her giant pre-war mansion and writes 25 words a day and then, like, calls it a day. I just like, what? You're just so rich.
I also like how she is literally Snow White in this scene with like talking to the squirrel and shit, which this bitch hates squirrels.
Yeah, no, true.
Remember? True. She hates a squirrel. She thinks it's a rat with a cuter outfit.
Yes. Oh my God. What a betrayal of a, what a betrayal of her own character.
Well, she's a different person now.
She is. But like, yeah, saying hi to the squirrel, I'm like, get out of here.
Okay, but I did like when the rats came.
Yes, same.
She's interrupted by the rats. Something about this felt very John Waters to me. I guess it was the juxtaposition of like the satin Margiela heels with the rats.
Yes.
But yeah, apparently these rats were real. Some of the rats were real, although I swear in the overhead shot they were CGI.
They
yeah.
were giving CGI IMHO.
I have no idea, but like, is there like rat trainers that there's like rat actors?
Yeah,
like-
we found out that there was a rat trainer and these rats were professional actors.
Like they get like a SAG rate, like background.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
What did you think of the historical fiction as voiceover?
I guess it's a little closer to the column. I don't know. I don't know what to think about this show or the voiceover because I don't know where it's going.
Yeah, agree.
And I'm still unclear about Carrie's kind of status in the literary world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how famous is she? Would something like this be well received? Is there an audience for it? I don't know. I'm just imagining if Candace Bushnell made a book like this, which she would never, ever do.
Never.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
There's also something about the fact, like, you know, personally working as a screenwriter and just, you know, interested in the way TV is written, that it's sort of an understood thing that we don't really want characters to change that much. In the way TV characters are, they're kind of always making the same mistakes. They can't grow to the point that they evolve so much that the show is different, because it's comforting to come back and have them always be ultimately the same. And Carrie is so different than the Carrie in the show that it's just disorienting to me.
Yeah. Again, yeah. What history, when? Was she ever? But I hope it is like a Hilary Mantel, like Wolf Hall, just like all of a sudden turns really brutally violent and like the woman is just like beheading people and getting dysentery. I don't know. Like that would be fun. I'd be into that.
That's
like just
happen.
Really gothic and violent. But no, it's obviously going to be cute and romantic.
I wish. We'll see. Maybe she'll murder Aiden.
Honestly, someone should.
Truly. So she goes to call Aiden and tell him about her rat debacle. But I don't know. She like almost texts him, but then she deletes the text. It's sad seeing her be like this.
I agree.
You know?
It's so kind of pathetic.
It kind of is.
Well, yeah, because
he broke the boundaries, I guess, first.
Right, but imagine if this was your friend. You're like, I'm dating someone. He told me not to talk to him for 5 years. And then he called me.
This kid gets in one car accident.
He called. And then we actually did talk, but during it, he shit his pants and then came. Should I text
like
him?
Canceled.
Yeah, I'd be like, I honestly think you should move on.
Although I will say that table she chose was hideous. And I feel like if you send crazy texts, you get crazy answers. Like that table was one of the worst tables I've ever seen. Like it was so, it looked like it belonged in like a corporate headquarters of Petco or something. I don't know, like a conference table. I was like, what is this table? It did deserve a thumbs down, I thought.
Yeah, and that was kind of the extent of Carrie's plot line with Aiden, right? This episode, he just yes. thumbs down the table. And then I guess towards the end of the episode, we meet Carrie's gardener. Mm. Carrie's response to this rat infestation is to just destroy the entire garden.
No, it's extreme. So insane. But then also, I think she fires those gardeners or they leave or something. Because then, isn't at the end of the episode, she's like a nuke? I don't know. It was so crazy, though.
No, those were like the rat killers that came in.
Got it.
And then she actually had a landscape architect come in at the end.
Yes. Who did Liv Tyler's? Did he drop that name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is chic. Love
that. That is chic.
It is chic. And I like that we have context for like his career and, yeah, like, and
how,
whole thing.
And how much Carrie can afford. Which, I mean, we know she's obviously rich as hell.
Limitless.
She's living in a gigantic pre-war mansion, basically. But
that's on Gramercy Park, right? It's supposed to be on the park.
On the park.
Yeah, I mean, that must be at least $20 million property.
Is that in a studio?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Well, definitely the garden. The whole garden is like an indoor set for sure.
Yes,
right. But the front of the house, I was like, is that actually filmed on the street?
I actually have no idea.
It's beautiful.
I was trying to figure it out because you could see cabs going in the background. You can see the whole street. But I'm like, would they pan to Gramercy Park if they were actually shooting outside?
One would think.
Yeah.
One would think.
A Gramercy pan.
Yeah. But we also have glossed over the fact that a big aspect of her character in this episode is we learn that she does talk to text.
True.
Which is very boomer, and I do it sometimes too, but
yeah, you actually do it.
I know.
You did it literally while we were waiting to come up. You talked to text Chelsea.
I know, but in a TV show, I'm like, do we need to hear so many commas and stuff? This is the problem with the show where I'm like, I think this is supposed to be funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah, it's definitely supposed to be comedic. For sure. And it's definitely more conducive to television than her just typing on her phone and then showing that, you know? I understand why they chose to do that. And yes, I also voice text. I responded to your text with a voice text in the car.
I know. I hate
typing. So maybe it's not boomer. Maybe it's millennial.
I hate my phone.
Voice notes would be millennial. I'm surprised she's not just doing voice notes.
Voice notes is where it's at.
Yeah.
And that's what she should have sent to Aiden for sure.
Yeah.
Was anyone else concerned about the fact that Carrie was going to poison her cat to death with this rat poison? Because multiple times in the episode, they established this cat goes outside.
No, yes, I know. I was like waiting for the cat escape the whole episode because it was like, we're really planting the fact that this cat goes outside. But yes, I also, she's like, and she meets with the guy, she's like, all the worst fucking chemicals ever. And then her neighbor's like, are they organic? And I'm like, yeah, Carrie, what's wrong with like organic, not like, also, especially since your cat's gonna fucking die.
I know. So
maybe they'll kill the
cat. So nuts. They could.
Maybe they'll kill the cat. They killed Big. As Megan Thee Stallion said, I'm surprised y'all didn't kill Samantha.
So wild.
So funny.
But like also with the garden, it's like she tore out the garden and she's replacing it with another garden. The problem wasn't with the particular design of that garden. It was the fact that there were places for rats to hide.
Yes. But actually, it did feel, because she's turned into such a psycho rich lady who just writes 25 words a day and just flounces around her house and her biggest problem is her alarm system. Like, it did actually read as realistic of just like, oh my God, she has so much money that she can just completely destroy her entire garden because she freaks out about rats. And then rebuild it with Liv Tyler's landscape architect.
So what do we think about him?
Hot.
He is hot. The whole band t-shirt. I mean, I'm just being negative again, but it's like, no one says anything that I'm interested in. You know what I mean?
So rude.
Where it's like, okay, I don't know. I just felt like on the original show, which I know it's bad to compare it, but it's like there was more like fun, flirty dialogue where you feel like this is a character or some kind of New York archetype, you know? And I'm like, that guy is totally cute, but I don't know. I didn't feel like there was a banter that I thought was like funny or interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if this is the man for her.
See, I'm just a gay guy, so I saw him and I was like, wow, he is so fine, and immediately loved him and want him to absolutely replace Aiden ASAP. I was like, but also I did think the band thing was weird. He like literally catches the cat and Carrie's like, what's that shirt mean? He's like, I can't tell you yet. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, and here's my band trauma backstory. And you're just like, I thought you were saving. It felt like too soon to like reveal something that he said was a secret.
And not a big reveal enough, because I was like, I knew that was going to happen. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
Oh, but he's so sexy.
Bring him back.
I'm so over Aiden. I'm just like, yeah, we need like a new crush. Honestly, I'm confused. I understand why Carrie's confused. It is, they have genuinely done a great job of creating a very confusing situation between the two of them. It's like, he shows up, doesn't tell her he's showing up. I'm like, people have plans. Like,
oh, yeah, like, I completely forgot about that until you mentioned it. Right, Aiden was in this episode.
Yeah.
No, he just shows up out of the blue and just also expects her to like not have plans. But then again, I don't think she does. She just wanders around her mansion and types 25 words a day. She doesn't have anything to do, I guess. But still, I was like, that felt presumptuous.
Yeah, I agree. And that was so brief, because it's like we see them have their little like Home Alone style screaming moment in the closet, and then they fuck, which we don't see.
Yes.
And then he's gone.
Yeah.
But she does say to him, hey, I'm confused. Like, what are the boundaries? And are we going to talk or not? And he's like, I guess I kind of maybe overreacted a little bit, or was a little extreme with the I can't talk for 5 years, which I think made all of us nod our heads and say, yes, true. Like, you don't have to stare at your kid 24 hours a day for 5 years, right? I mean, I don't have kids, but it seems like a lot.
It seems like that might be unhealthy for the kid.
Yeah, that kid's going to be fucked up.
Well, they're sleeping in the same bed.
Yeah,
so creepy.
Touch me how you, or touch yourself how you like to be touched, or whatever.
I don't think that's that bad.
It wasn't sexy.
It's not bad. Like, there's nothing about the words that are bad.
Yes.
It's the way they were said that, again, is giving uncle. You know?
Yes.
Uncle.
Drunk
in,
uncle.
Drunk
with
uncle
no boundaries. Who's in his pants when he's wasted.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers. And Rakuten shares the commission with its members. And that could be you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account. Or, if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
Okay, so moving on to Miranda. She didn't have a whole lot to do in this episode.
Other than get obsessed with that reality show. Which, by bingo, sounds like something I absolutely would watch.
Oh, for sure. And it's consistent with Miranda's history of loving trashy shit, trashy tabloids, trashy TV shows.
And then there was the bold move of her hitting on the tableside guac girl. The tableside guac girl said something about hotness or something. And Miranda was like, you're hot. Like, or I know, something so on the nose. And it also did not land, which I did love. But I thought the tableside guac girl moment was kind of funny.
Oh, for sure. It's, again, it feels in keeping with Miranda and her various dating humiliations.
Yes.
I'm proud of her for hitting on the tableside guac girl, because I do think that she was leading Miranda on a little bit.
Oh, 1,000%. She was definitely flirting.
Like, when she says, we should be on that show,
yes,
at the very least, it suggests I am bisexual.
Yes, I fully
agree. Oh, yeah, true.
Not that that's, like, necessarily means, like, I'm single or I'm available or I'm down to fuck, but still.
By bingo. Yes, it was giving flirty. And I do like Miranda coming back into, like, I just, like, dating storylines I do love. Like, I think Miranda's had the strongest season so far, IMHO. But what I will say, for Carrie and Miranda to be such a fucking bitch to Rosie last week about her, like, choice of, like, Tavern on the Green and being such a tourist. They're basically showing up at, like, a Rosa Mexicana and, like, having tableside guac. I'm like, who has... The last time I had tableside guac was, like, in 2010. Like, do you know what I mean?
Truly, like, in Times Square.
Yeah, I am like, how dare you drag Rosie? Like,
shame.
Yeah, I'm like, you're having tableside guac in 2025. That is unacceptable. You have no leg to stand on, just as for the Virgin Mary. Like, I really was pissed about that. Also, she was making tableside guac with a pink spatula. I was like, it's mortar and pestle.
You can't make
a dirty pink spatula.
Details.
That was disgusting. Sorry, that really grossed me out.
No, it's true. You're right. It is not a spatula sort of thing. It's crazy. She's crazy for that.
Crazy for that.
But I agree. I liked Miranda's plot line. I loved the Rosie plot line. It just feels like what we want from the show.
Yeah.
I love the flirty BBC woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I also just love watching Cynthia. Like, Miranda this season, I feel like, has come back down to earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like her level of acting. Like, sometimes on And Just Like That, it feels like everyone's acting is dialed up to, like, a 13 out of 10.
Yes.
Except Sarah Jessica, who sometimes feels like is on life support. And Miranda feels like she's acting at the right level.
Yes, I agree.
I agree. I also think that Cynthia has watched the show more recently, like, watched Sex in the City. Based on some of her recent interviews, which we will get into on our post show and just after that. But anyway, Charlotte and LTW. So I love Charlotte and LTW, but this plot line was a little bit hard for me. It is about the college admissions consultant Lois Fingerhood, dubbed the Harvard Whisperer. And LTW and Charlotte are initially horrified when they realize that other moms at the school are hiring this woman because it goes against the rules. But then they quickly are like, you know what? Fuck it.
It is so cringe. And also the show has, like, such a blind spot when it comes to class, I think. But Charlotte and LTW both behave in such a pathetic way. They're, like, dropping their entire lives. Like, LTW is, like, in the middle of an edit day on her, like, documentary about unsung black sheroes. I'm like, what documentary director ever is just dropping a full-blown edit day from their budget to chase after in kooky outfits, like, their son because they got a college... It's so cringe. And I just feel they're both so pathetic, just, like, running around desperately chasing their children to, like, get them to go to this, like, college counselor. I don't know. I was like, cut it out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And for those of you who haven't watched the episode and are just listening to this recap, basically, Charlotte and LTW were like, we have to hire this consultant for our children. And to do that, we have to stalk her at her child's little league game and convince her to, like, take our kids on as clients. And then she says yes. And then for some reason, both of them rush to their kids, even though the appointment isn't that day. It's like later in the week, and they're, like, both running, like, flailing their arms, being like, guess what? You have this appointment with Lois Fingerhood. It's like, what?
No.
She's running onto the lacrosse field.
Getting, like, hit with the ball. This plot line and a lot of the Charlotte plot lines, this is when the tone of the show starts to be incongruous with the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Like, this is the sitcom version where LTW is, like, running onto the field, like, getting hit with a ball. And it's, like, suddenly this, like, slapstick, super broad... Yes. Comedy that feels disorienting, right? And, like, the music is almost like reality TV show music.
Like, boop, 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 boop. I'm getting hit by balls. It's like, for what show is this?
Well, it's more like a network television show, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's so confusing. I was not having the college admissions.
I just don't want the kids at all. It's annoying that I guess we're going to have a whole other year of them because they're only juniors. And
oh God,
I'm not trying to be mean, although I am, but it's like Lily's acting is so wild. It is dialed up to 10,000. It's a different show.
Yes, like the scenes where the kids had just met with, who's this bitch's name? Lois Fingerhood.
They eventually call her Fingerfuck. You're like, yeah, this was a name chosen for the ultimate pun that would wind up at the end of the episode, which I think is Fingerfuck.
But you're right. Lily was so dialed up in that scene to a level that was like absolutely insane.
Yes, everyone breathing into bags. That's not really her fault. I feel like it's the direction, but it was like breathing into a bag. Like it was so over the top. But also like Lily looks 27 years old.
She's 29.
In real life?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, there you go. So she was playing piano. I was like, wait, college? Is she just like, I was like this moment where I was like, wait, she's an adult who has a job being a accompanist at a ballet. I was like, wait, what? Where are we? Also, her gay boyfriend. Like, we just say, like, after she went to the Met and there were like two people in the audience for some inexplicable reason, I like, can't believe
it. Well, it was like a rehearsal for friends and family.
Yeah, it's like, we can't pay extras. But it was like so. I don't know. And like her making out with him, like in the hallway, and then Charlotte interrupting in this way. I was just like, IGK.
The character, it's just like she's always having a meltdown. It's like she gets her period and it's like World War III. And then she like needs a condom and like the world ends because she needs a condom. And then it's like she has to rewrite her college admissions essay to not include that she's adopted, which I guess is like some kind of Trump reaction or to
maybe
privilege or something. I don't know. But then it's like she's hyperventilating into a paper bag. And it's like, well, where did that paper bag come from? It's completely random. But why is she always having a meltdown? And they're always catering to her meltdowns.
Yeah,
I just want that character to not exist.
Yeah.
Or go to college.
Yeah,
go to college. For the love of God. Early admission.
Also, I just want to briefly touch upon the fact that there was a scene where Charlotte and LTW visited the dean of their kid's school, and there was like a very casual active shooter joke.
Yeah, that just threw me like, so hard.
That was crazy.
It was just interesting to me because I feel like the show is very conscious of being quite politically correct.
Yes.
And I thought that that was just a surprising choice, which is not to say I'm super offended by it. I definitely did get some calls from teachers on the hotline that were quite offended by it, which I completely understand. But it was just something I did not expect to see on In Just Like That.
Well, I do feel like there are blind spots in terms of like class and privilege. And then I just feel like sometimes there will be, something like the school shooter joke, which just like so wild. It's giving like Michael Patrick King just being like, whatever. Like, I don't know. Like I feel like I don't know. Like, it is so out of left field that I don't know. I don't think that particular plane landed.
It's interesting because it is one of those things that like would not be a reference on Sex in the City because it speaks much more to the time that we're living in now. And it is something that is much more current. It's weird to see And Just Like That reference current things that are so deeply dark.
Yes. And like, I feel like the original show never, I mean, yes, it had like edgy humor, certainly, but it was never like dark, like quote unquote edgy humor. I don't know. Like they were never.
I mean, I think Carrie initially was much more dry and much more like Dorothy Parker, you know? Initially, and that kind of dissipated a little bit as the series progressed, but
I don't know. They never made any. I mean, the jokes always landed back in the day. I would say this one.
That is true.
Didn't land.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
So who else do we have to talk about? Seema. She is dating. We got a pretty fun montage of a bunch of her dates. Very efficient storytelling. Although she's so mean to all of them.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, is this supposed to be, I mean, okay, I was excited that we got a dating plot line. I was excited about the matchmaker. But that montage where she's hate dating, I couldn't tell if it was meant to be like she was empowered and she was right for dumping all these guys, or that she's just being mean? Or is it like not taking a side?
I think it was supposed to be very like, you go girl, but it came off as being kind of mean.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Agreed.
I was like, you are really judgmental and making assumptions about people and are like really jaded. But I still enjoyed it. But I was like, I think that what it thinks it is, it isn't.
Yeah, because at the end, the storyline, she like ends in a very you go girl empowered, I'm being myself type of way. But it's like, IDK, like you are kind of rude. You're not even really giving any of these dudes a chance. But I think the idea is like she's quote unquote right about each and every single one. So we're supposed to sympathize with her. But yeah, it's just kind of like you're being kind of rude.
Yeah, but she might be a psychic.
She might be a psychic.
Based on her scarily accurate reads of these guys.
No, that's true. But there's also Sherry O'Terry, which...
Love. So good.
Loved seeing her.
Me too.
Sherry, I wanted the Sherry O'Terry matchmaker spinoff, honestly. It was kind of giving Patty Stanger vibes.
Yeah.
I really appreciated.
Yeah, it was like, really? Change your whole personality.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. She was so good. For those of you who haven't watched the ep, she was Seema's matchmaker. They had a lovely lunch date where she's basically like, don't dress like you usually dress, which is crazy because I feel like the way Seema dresses is the most like male gaze way a person could dress.
Agree.
You know?
I feel like that's her whole character. She's the Samantha replacement.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very tits out sexy.
She's so sexy. I mean, that actress really has like, some of the craziest sex appeal ever.
She's stunning. Love.
Yeah, she really is.
But Sherry was hilarious. Sherry also randomly guesses Seema's very specific lunch order. Speaking of psychics, they're both psychic in this way. I'm like, wait, what? And Seema's like, yeah, you got it. But it's like avocado on the side. Like, it's like so bizarre.
When she came on in that scene, though, I was really excited. I was like, this seems like it could be a really funny plot line, like getting this rich millionaire matchmaker-esque matchmaker on. But then I was disappointed that it didn't really go anywhere, like it ended already. But the thing that I felt like that matchmaker was so wrong about was it's like, change your look, wear pastels, like your clothes alienate people, which I agree with you that I actually think that it's, you know, she's really sexy, but it's like what she actually needs to do is to go to therapy. I think about her. I don't think she needs to wear like florals. And then she goes on this date that I think ostensibly is supposed to be that Seema fucked up.
Yes.
But it's like, that guy seemed like he sucked. He didn't ask her a single question. At the end of the day, he's like, oops, I only talked about myself. I never asked you anything, which as a straight woman dating, I will tell you that is every date. Men don't ask questions. And then when she was honest about herself, he left. And the matchmaker's like, you fucked up. Like, you lost your opportunity. He's gone. And it's like, well, why would she want to date a guy who's like a narcissist who she has to change her whole wardrobe for? This is like...
Precisely.
He sucks.
So it did end. But I feel like we were supposed to feel like she got empowered by the end, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Or I don't know.
But it was very Patty Stanger to like also be hiding in the wings watching the date. And then getting, like there are literal episodes of Millionaire Matchmaker where Patty hides out and then critiques the dates.
That's
all
of them.
So it did feel like
show.
Someone was rewatching old school Millionaire Matchmaker, which I did appreciate. Again, give Sherry a spinoff. I would watch the Sherry O'Terry Matchmaker show.
Me too. I think she was the best part of this episode.
Agree.
By far. So the only person we haven't talked about is Anthony, who has finally opened his store. Hot Fellas is now a brick and mortar business. Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it was so random. It was just like, that was it. It's like, I opened a brick and mortar, and then it was like, okay, great. And then you never seen from again. But clearly the brick and mortar is going to come into play. I am a gay slut, but I do think there is an overemphasis on baguettes. I'm just like...
See, like, I liked the baguette door handle.
No, I liked the baguette door handle. I thought it was cute, but... I also think, like, there's just so many dick jokes. It's like, we get it. They're hot guys, and they sell bread. Like, it does feel... I feel ready for some new jokes in this arena.
I just always feel like it's such a relief when he comes on screen. He's my favorite character. He's so funny. He's always good for me.
I agree. He's my favorite character too. Like when he was talking about his crotch height counter, it was like, I'm a genius. I was like, it was nice to see someone express like genuine joy.
Yes.
I was proud of him.
Yes.
He still is kind of bitchy and kind of old school, which I think we need.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see wherever this takes us. I guess this could potentially replace the diner.
Yes.
Which has never been replaced from Sex and the City.
I mean, you're never going to get that. You're never going to get that.
Hurry up and replace it. I am curious about the quality of the bread. I wonder what kind of bakery.
Like Bubs and Grandma's.
Yeah, is it giving like Bubs and Grandma's? I think it's actually not that chic. I don't know. I think it's a little more mass produced. I think he's aiming for like franchise versus like chic indie cunt bread.
No, it's definitely not Bub and Grandma. Sorry. Very specific Los Angeles bread reference.
The best bread if you're best ever. Bread. Best bread. Best bread. Yeah. No, he's aiming for franchise, not chic indie bakery.
So I think we need to talk about one last thing with this episode, which is that there was no end just like that in this episode. In the previous episode, it did not come at the end, but they slipped it into Carrie's dialogue. This episode, nothing.
It's very disorienting. I'm like, we gotta pick a rule and stick to it. I thought, okay, we're planting it in dialogue now, and it's just going to pop up near-ish the end of an episode, and someone's going to say it. But then in this episode, there wasn't any, and I'm just like, I feel like in episode three, I don't know. There probably will be in voiceover. I'm just like, you know what I mean? I just like, just pick a rule.
I know. You can tell that they know certain things aren't working because they change up big formatting things in every season, you know? And I do think that there being less characters makes the show better, for sure. But I wonder why they decided to take that out. Like, there's no consistency. The show is inherently disorienting, not only from season to season, but from scene to scene in terms of the tone.
Yeah, I wonder if they just got sick of writing the end just like that to themselves.
Yeah.
Because even just based on the past couple of seasons, like some of them were good and others were like cries for help. They're like, what do we do? Maybe they were just like, honestly, I can't do it again.
I kind of, it's part of like, I love it. I wish they were coming because I do, when they are cries for help, they're so Jen Lal. It's kind of like a jump scare. Do you know what I mean? And like, I love kind of like waiting for like the, oh, here's the, and just like that. Like, I don't know. I do think there's something kind of fun and campy about them. Not necessarily good, but I do enjoy them. I find them pleasurable.
I enjoy them too. And I miss them now that they're gone.
Yeah.
For sure. So Carly and Jonathan will be joining us on And Just After That, our post show. But before we leave, Jonathan has a new book that is out.
Woo!
Jonathan, can you plug your fabulous new book?
Oh, yes, I can. My fabulous new book is called It's Not the End of the World. It is out now wherever books are sold. It takes place in 2044 in Los Angeles, and it is about a wealthy gay couple that refused to cancel their baby shower even as a potentially apocalyptic event sweeps through Los Angeles. So it's terrifying and campy, and yeah, just like me.
Well, congratulations. I cannot wait to read it. I will link to it in our show notes, as well as I'll put your guys' Instagram in there also. Carly, do you want to promote anything? Do you have anything to promote?
No.
Well, you are always fabulous. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. This
Thank
meant
you.
The world to me.
The true bucket list pod.
I know. The only thing I'm sad about is that I want to listen to you guys complain about the episode, and now I can't.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm sure we can get Lauren's thoughts from the hospital soon.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure that's the most important thing on her to-do list right now.
Oh, you thought a little thing like unexpectedly going into labor was going to keep me from giving my thoughts on And Just Like That? You guys know me better. Okay, what did I think about this episode? Loved seeing Carrie and Lizette. Her outfit, her meditations on modern dating. I wanted to stay with Lizette for the next 40 minutes. I think having a baby made me forget about the Aiden Carrie stuff, but I'm sure I wasn't happy about that. Honestly, all right, I gotta get this out before the baby starts crying. Here are my two other thoughts about this episode. I don't think Seema deserves happiness. I'm sorry. I would love for her to be the Samantha avatar we want her to be, but she has to stop being such a bummer about dating. Also, Miranda was not in the wrong for thinking that guacamole lady might be gay. I'm on her side. Also, would watch by bingo. All right, I'll be back next week with more and just like that thoughts from the newborn trenches. What could go wrong?
All right, guys, I will be back next week. Thank you for listening as always.
Bye.
Bye.